Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along. It's another Melchester Odyssey for you, and today, in my right hand, held quite high up in the sky for reasons that I'm not even sure about.
Rightly so.
I've just done that. I don't know. I'll bring it down so I can read it better. It's the 18th of August, 1984 issue of Roy the Rovers. And it was delivered to, it's got written in pencil on the front page, the address that it was delivered to. I don't know the street, but it's number 44. And I think it says WD. So that'd be something Drive, I guess. Warwick Drive.
Yeah.
Wilson Drive. I don't know, something like that. Can't think of any other kind of street begins with a D, can you?
No.
No, we'll go with something Drive. That narrows it down. If you've got any clues about the location of where this was delivered to, please get in touch. And if you're 100% certain, send a photograph of us.
Have you ever lived in a drive? What have you lived in? Avenues, drives, streets, roads, mews? What? Oh, you don't have to give away immense detail, but which has dominated, which type of road has dominated your life?
Here's a challenge. If you'd like us to read out your address on the episode, send it in and we might just do that. Because this is what happened when, you know, the Big Match Revisited on a Saturday morning on ITV4 from like 1977. Brian Moore's presenting it. And he does the reader's letters towards the end. And he always reads out the name and the full address of all the correspondents. He doxes people live on ITV in 1977, which is just insane. But it's very entertaining. Name, address, road, town, postcode, the lot. Maniac.
I've got a sequence here that you might be interested in. Here it is.
Right.
Walk, Grove, Road, 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 Grove, Passage, Road, Road. And that is my life in streets. You'll notice
all the places you've lived.
Yeah, the highlight is probably Passage. But what's also interesting is not one but two groves.
Quite I was going to say they're the same groves. They're
quite
separate groves,
doesn't it? Separate groves, yeah.
Fuck me. Wow.
Yeah.
I'll do mine, but I can't pod and write that down at the same time. It's too much brain work. Well done you for doing it though. Good multitasking there, Sam.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Star.
I really enjoyed doing that, actually.
Should we start awarding ourselves gold stars on this podcast?
Gold star for Sammy. Yeah.
Maybe not. You got a bit too excited there.
Did you used to get... We used to get a well done sticker from the headmaster. And it was worth 3 team points. So you're in a team. Red, yellow, green or blue. I was in yellow. That was the best.
They were called house points.
And this is at primary school, this one. You had merit at secondary school. Now I'm going, fuck it, secondary school. But at primary school, we took it fucking seriously. And you'd get a point. You'd get a star would be 1 point. And you all competed in the class and then wider in the year and then wider in the school. And there'd be awards and be a school captain, like head of the entire team for the school. I think I might have gone for it for yellows, but not get it when I was in the fourth year. But anyway, if you got sent to the headmaster, Mr. Mitchell, right, for a well done sticker, that meant you'd done something fucking blinding, right? Like you'd gone way above and beyond. And it was a gold rosette, Andy, quite large, but a sticker. Not a real rosette. It was a gold sticker shaped like a rosette.
Yeah.
About 2 inches high. And it said in red lettering, well done. And it sometimes you'd get it stuck in your book if it was a piece of particularly good work. Sometimes if you'd just done something fucking amazing, like a backflip, right? You'd get it stuck, you'd stick it on your fucking jumper. And the thrill I get even thinking about a well done sticker from when I was at primary school is still like, I can't think of anything that excites me more.
We had house points and houses red, yellow, blue, green again.
What were you
I was in red. I was in red, which was my favourite colour, so that was coincidental.
Yeah.
And what we had was each colour, there was a wall chart and squares and a pin with... Your pin was that colour, and every time someone in your house got a point, they'd move the pin along one. So it was like a race to the line. And I think it was every week, however a house got the most house points. I think you got out 3 minutes early or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but in I was in red as well in comprehensive school.
Oh.
And we had...
So just by coincidence...
Just coincidence.
Did you apply, or was it were you randomly
apply,
handed?
It was just bestowed upon you. Yeah, I don't think you've given the option.
Excuse me. I know it's random, but would you mind if you put me in red? I wouldn't usually ask, but you see, it's my favourite colour, and I was in red team at primary school as well.
I did very well.
Fuck off, man! You're in big school
red
now,
blue.
You little twat.
And we had inter house football tournament. At the end of each year. And I scored the winner in the final 1-0 about 5 minutes before the end for Reds.
That,
you know, we were talking before about great sporting triumphs. I think it was in the throwing episode, which might not have gone out yet.
Yeah.
And that was my other main school triumph.
Yeah, that's
but the ball
great.
Came,
what
the
an
ball
amazing
came
feeling.
Out. The ball came out the edge of the box. Keeper saved it.
Yeah.
Or the ball had been played through or something. The keeper came out and I just nicked it past him into the back of the net and he absolutely fucking clattered me.
Clattered you as well,
didn't I? I couldn't walk for about
was
3 days.
Was it like Schumacher on...
Yeah.
Who did he do it to again? Was it
Battiston?
Battiston, yeah.
Harold Schumacher. It was like
Schumacher
that. I couldn't walk
Battiston.
For half a week.
Yeah.
But I had the glory. And that's the main thing. What are we looking at here? Oh, yeah. Front cover. It's just a single image. And it's... This is freaky. Rover's new chairman, it says, as announced in the last episode, it's Jeff Boycott. And this is photographed on the edge of a cricket field. We've got Jeff Boycott in his cricketing whites with his cap on.
Who did he play for? He played for Yorkshire, didn't he?
Yorkshire.
Of course, yeah.
For 100 years, Yorkshire and England. And 73 of those years, he was at the crease. He's with Roy. Roy is, Roy in this case is an actual human man with Roy's face drawn over the top.
It's really weird.
It's sinister. And he's dressed like a prick. He's not dressed like Roy would dress. He's got horrible dark brown trousers on.
He's got a weird sort of leather, I think faux leather brown jacket.
Yeah. Cheap, isn't it? Cheap and
looks
nasty.
Like, but it looks like he's got it at Wembley Market, and like, yeah, it's about it's genuine 1% leather, my friend. It's one of these things.
Yeah, and the shirt's just Christ Almighty, like different shades of brown stripes and white.
It looks like skid marks.
I don't know who
the pattern
this is
on that shirt is known in the fashion trade as skid mark.
But what is important is that Roy is taller than Jeff Boycott.
Yeah.
I think that might have been one of the prerequisites.
I also think he looks quite slight. The body, they've got to be the body model for Roy Race.
He doesn't look like an athlete, does he?
He doesn't look like an athlete. He looks quite slight, and the head they've drawn on him, in which Roy's hair looks like he's just been in one of those granny hair-setting machines, you know. He looks like he's got Thatcher hair almost, doesn't he, in this?
Thatcher hair. They've given him different teeth as well, by the looks of it.
Yeah. I'm genuinely not happy with the inconsistency with which Hugh draws Roy Race. Roy Race varies in appearance a huge amount from one week to the next, and sometimes within the same strip he changes, don't you think?
Well, I mean, Skew might not have even drawn this. It might be in his contract, strips only.
Strips only, no covers, and I never touch anything in which you are doing an amalgam of photography and illustration.
No.
That is. I stand against that. I cannot tell you how opposed I am to that. I am anti-photography, and I'm particularly anti the bastardization of my drawings.
It's just all wrong. It really is. Well, there it is. Jeff Boycott is the new chairman, and it says see colour pages inside, which we're about to do. And there we go, the second page of this story. Melchester Rovers pre-season friendly match against close rivals Marlborough marked a new milestone in the history of the famous club. For as Roy led out his players, a helicopter landed on the pitch and out of it stepped the new chairman of the Rovers. And, who's that player again? The number 11. I've forgotten his name now. He says, it's Jeff Boycott. Our new chairman is a cricketer. A fucking cricketer, of all things. And Jeff Boycott says, hello, lads. This is a real special day for me. I'm a very privileged cricketer. Privileged to be associated with a football club that I consider to be one of the best in Britain.
One of the best, you'll notice I said that. Not the best.
One of the best.
Ask me what the others are. I will not answer. I am being paid to endorse this football club at this point. But there's only so far I will go.
I've tried to make a point that I feel there is work to be done before this club becomes the best. And that's why I'm here.
Luckily, you've got the very best person to undertake that work, vis-a-vis me.
And then he moves on to Roy and says, and that goes for my favourite player and the person responsible for me being here. Did you see there, Roy? I called you my favourite player. Is that what you wanted? Is that all right? Yeah, great. Welcome to the club, Jeff, says Roy. The Melchester fans had mixed feelings about Jeff Boycott's sensational arrival. Football fans having mixed feelings about something, Sam. How about that? What a concept. One of them says, does he know much about football? I could have done the job better than him. I'm a football fan, you see. I have knowledge. We're a knowledgeable crowd here in Manchester.
The message I got on, I was hosting a show on TalkSport, and you get all these kids who like are just seething about everything, but they're like that. They think, you know, I know loads about football, and they consider that to be something that's impressive, right? And someone sent me this message once that said, the difference between me and you is Delaney. You watch football. You watch football. I analyse it.
Oh.
Right? And I was like, well, good luck to you, mate.
Yeah. I analyse it on social media.
Yeah.
I have 9,000 followers on Twitter.
All there for my analysis.
One says, does he know much about football? The other one says, I'm not bothered, mate. Jeff and Roy Race are going to make quite a team. Mate.
I'm not your mate. I'll never be your mate. Pardon? Nothing.
We're going to see these two close up. One of them's doing fucking bit unshaven with a scarf tied tightly around his neck, and the other one just looks a bit like Blatty Gray. But you can be sure of one thing, Jeff will put everything he's got into the job. Well, that's not possible because everything he's got is going into cricket, pretty much. He's diluting everything he's got by taking on two jobs. He's dedicated. The success of the Rovers will be as important to him as scoring a century at Lord's.
Will it, fuck?
But
the thing is, when people say this, Andy, you'll have a view on this, when people say things like, he's going to put everything he's got into the job, and some people say it themselves, they go, one thing I can tell you is, I can't promise you success, but what I can promise you is, I will put 100%, I will put blood, sweat and tears into this job and into trying to make this a success. And when people say that, I just think, why? Why would you do that? Is that true? And if it is true, then what's the matter with you, for fuck's sake?
It can't be true, can it?
You can't put everything. Haven't you got a family? Don't you have hobbies? Do you have friends? Are there other things that matter to you? Like helping people in your community, for example. Like, you can't put... Don't boast about putting everything into a job. That's just stupid.
You go home at the end of the day, you make yourself a cup of tea, sit down and watch the telly. You're immediately diluting that 100%.
But these people would say, no, I won't do that. As long as I'm in this job, I won't go home and make a cup of tea. Do you know why? Because I'll be in the office. Mm. And I probably won't even start to make a cup of tea in the office because I'll be too busy working and making this a success.
I'd like to see a manager take over a club.
Don't bother. Yeah.
I'd like to see a manager take over at a club and say, I will promise you I will give 79%. Of my life to this club, which is a realistic figure, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because he might be there from like 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. and then sleep for 6 hours or whatever. And
that's still too much.
Probably work out.
Yeah, but if you analyse it like that, that's still too much. Because that means he's only, all he's finding time to do is, well, he's probably not cooking, he's probably only eating like either take microwave meals that are going to be pretty bad for him, full of additives. Right. Or takeaways. Takeaway every night. Don't you remember when my sister-in-law went on holiday and my brother put the dog in kennels and had a Chinese 5 nights in a row?
The same one.
He went insane and fell asleep in the nunnery. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be eating takeaways every night. But if a manager says he's going to give 100% of a job, that's basically what you're asking him to do.
He's having takeaways every night.
He's having takeaways or microwave meals on a nightly basis, and that's not sustainable.
Well, like I'm saying, if he comes out and says, I'll give it 75% or 78%, but then he'll also elaborate and say, I'll be in from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m, but I will take a full hour for lunch, and then I'll take a full hour for tea, at tea time, and I will make sure I eat properly.
Yes, and then it'll be
something delivered, but it'll be nutritious.
It'll be good.
And healthy.
I'm thinking of subscribing to that Huel thing that you see advertised a lot online. It's like it's a complete meal plan, but it comes in like powdered form. It's vegan, but apparently it's like really, really good for you, and it's like every single thing that the human body needs. And if you sign up to it, they just deliver enough portions for you each week. And I can have it in shake form if I'm on the go. Mm. And I figure that would be the best way for me to maintain a balanced lifestyle while still giving a sufficient amount of effort to the job.
If I do that, I can probably dedicate 82%, maybe 84% to this job. So keep an eye out.
It doesn't account for weekends, holidays, evenings in front of the box.
Jalapeño.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Jalapeño.
I remember there was a magazine editor. I never knew her, but I remember when I was editing a magazine and I just felt like there was a pressure to sort of almost be performative in your effort. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you knew how much time and effort it would take you to do the things that were needed to do. But then you try to find, you felt like you were under pressure to find other ways of demonstrating that you're working. Like, you know, like the habit that people are into in lots of jobs of like staying late, almost on principle. Like not getting up at 6 o'clock or 5:30 or whatever it is and walking straight out the door. Because you want to show that you're so immersed in your work that you're going to stay late, right?
And everyone else feels compelled to do that as well because you look like you're slacking and then the whole culture's fucked.
I felt uncomfortable with all of this. And then there was the editor of, like, it was a big magazine. I think she was the editor of Elle. A big, successful, glossy magazine at the time. And I read an interview with her. And she was like, I've got it in my contract when I took this job. They really wanted me, but I've got young kids. So I've got it in my contract that I go home at 5 every day, no matter what, in order to be home in time, see my kids, have dinner with them and put them to bed. And that is a deal breaker. That's a mandatory. And I've got it in writing. And I thought it was really good that she spoke out and said that because she was in a position of status and power and she was regarded as a success. And therefore, she's demonstrating that you can be successful and good at your job whilst also maintaining healthy boundaries. And there should be more of that. So we need more of her and less of these Jeff boycotts.
I mean, even going back to like working in a record shop, it used to bug me that they expected you to be in 15 minutes before the shop opened.
Yeah.
And then leave 10 minutes afterwards. But it wasn't on you. You weren't paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a sort of an implication to everyone, especially when you're young, that, of course we can't hold you to this by the letter of your contract, but let's just say you're not really going to be regarded with that much positivity and you're going to very severely limit your chances of progress if you don't go the extra mile and basically give us extra time and effort for free. And I think we all fell for it. I fell for that. Everyone falls for it. But, young people just don't do it.
Anyway, let's get on with this for fuck's sake. One of the fans. But you can be sure of one thing. Jeff will put everything he's got into the job. Yeah, we've done this bit already. Roy says, okay, you Rovers, let's go. Let's celebrate Jeff's arrival with a few goals. And it's Neville Jones, whose name I forgot earlier. Sorry. There he is again saying, aye, really turn it on for him. And here's the Melchester team. I like it when we have a team lineup. Carter. Full back, right back, Noel Baxter, left back, Steve Naylor, centre backs, Duncan Mackay, Vic Guthrie, three in midfield, Blackie Gray, Carl Hunt, fucking hell, Carl Hunt's playing
Carl
from there,
Hunt.
Isn't he? Shit. And Jimmy Slade, up front, Rob Richards, Roy Race, Neville Jones. Oh, it's a good team, this.
So it's evolved a lot. It's evolved a lot in recent years. I mean, Roy has done a good job. So you got rid of old man Nat Godson and is putting Carl Hunt, who's very, experienced player. Richards has come through from the youth team. Neville Jones has just been scouted from like a park. Do you know what I mean? There's some good lads. Noel Baxter, I tell you who's missing though. Who's the Scottish lad with the estate agent dad?
Well, this is he's on the bench. Three subs. Kenny Logan's one of them.
Happy.
Kenny Logan, Glenn Ritchie, and Wallace. Who's Wallace again? Who's Wallace? I'm going to have to
Mervyn Wallace.
Mervyn Wallace?
No, he retired. He was the one who scouted Neville Jones.
Yeah, Mervyn Wallace. Mervyn Wallace is on the bench, it looks
like. Oh, no, I'm thinking, no. Who is the black winger? Vernon. Is it Vernon Elliott?
Vernon Elliott. Yeah, Mervyn Wallace is one of the players, though. Yeah, he's just. I think Mervyn Wallace is kind of a. He plays anywhere. A utility player.
Yeah.
But he's on the bench. But he's there. So. What happens? There they are. They're away! Shout the fans. As the match kicks off. It's only a friendly, fuck's sake. With Carl Hunt in our side, this must be the best squad we've ever had. Kind of is. No mention of how much they've paid for Copland.
Not for me. You don't have Pacquiao anymore. He disappeared and no one mentioned it. But when they had him up front with Roy, that was something special.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Hunt, rated as one of the best midfielders in Europe, had recently joined the Rovers from Carford City. And there's immediately some analysis from the terraces. Along with Roy, he'll be the main driving force behind our bid for the European Cup Winners' Cup. Oh, yeah, we're in Europe this season, are we? Good. Could be interesting.
Yeah,
look at that pass to Bob Richards. It was pinpoint. Bob Richards. Is that what we're calling Rob Richards now?
Bobby.
This is Bob Richards. Or 808 Richards, it might say. But that's a bit ahead of its time. And Bob Richards, as he's called there, lofts the ball forward over a defender into Roy's path. 1-0 to the Reds, it must be. But it's not. Racy has miskicked it. And it's bounced up and over the bar. Oof, says Roy. Ooh, Racy completely miskicked it. A few moments later, as the Rovers again carved open the Melbourne defence, and they do indeed, they're knocking it around beautifully, and Roy just heads it, and the keeper catches it. Straight at the keeper! He's missed another sitter! The king seems to be off colour! Then, despite constant Melchester pressure, Melbourne managed to get a tap in. It's there! Melbourne have grabbed a shock lead! And there's a little bit of criticism comes from the fans. This isn't the feast to sit before Jeff Rovers. Jeff's expecting a feast, is he? Okay. At half-time, Blackie goes over to Roy. Well now, Roy, I've a hunch you were trying a little too hard to impress our new chairman.
Fuck off, Blackie. When have I ever
what
attempted
did you do?
To
Fuck
impress
off,
anyone?
What?
Yeah. I wish you'd try a bit fucking harder, you idiot. Come over me, tell me I'm getting it wrong. I'm just being myself. Why would I want to impress that cunt? I'm the one who fucking hired him. I could fire him too.
He's my friend. Is he your friend?
He's
no, he's not.
Mate. He's my mate. Don't say that, Roy. You know it hurts me. Well, he is my mate, and you can ask anyone. In
tell
fact, guess what? He's coming to the fucking Feathers with me on Wednesday night for Birds Night. And you're not invited. And I've got these new pills that I got over from someone in America called Quaaludes. And me and Jeff and Bob got to fucking take them together. And then we're going to try and fly his fucking helicopter. So what?
If you try, harder in the second half, Blackie, I'll introduce you to him personally. But I can't guarantee he's going to want to be your friend. But he will know who you are. But that's but you're not coming to Feathers.
And you're not coming to Feathers Wednesday. Oh, Roy, can I have a Quaalude and just take it at home instead just to see what it's like? No, I've only got some. It's one each for me and Jeff.
Oh, make me old. What is
you
it, flour and water?
You can't make him, you daft bastard. We've been down that route before. Remember when you tried to make acid? Use fucking bleach on a bit of typing paper. You're in hospital for 2 weeks.
How do you make it all? Is it flour and water? No, that's glue, you fucking idiot.
Maybe I'll make that instead then.
Sniff
probably
it.
If you sniff glue, it makes you feel dead funny. I'm going to make my own glue and sniff it all night to help me forget that you're out with Jeff.
Yeah, that kind of glue you make at all, that doesn't work, but whatever. Best of luck. Roy's looking up at Jeff Boycott, who's signing autographs for adoring fans. He says, he's just what we need. A strong character in charge of the board.
A right cunt.
Someone
just
who will
like
do
me.
My bidding. Yeah.
He's a cunt, but he's my cunt. And I've got him on the end of fucking strings like Geppetto.
The second half. Roy has got the bit between his teeth. He's thinking, so, it's time I gave Jeff something to cheer about. That's better, Roy. Good running, says Blackie. You fucking what? I'll punch your fucking
good
head
fucking
in after this
running.
Match is over. Good running.
You're in a hole. Blackie, you are in a fucking hole that you have dug with your own fucking tongue, right? And at the moment, the more you try and fucking fill that hole in, you're in fact licking up more fucking earth widgets on worms and everything, and the hole is getting deeper and fucking deeper. So deep soon that you will never, ever fucking climb out of it. Do you understand? Oh, if I keep going deeper, maybe I get all the way to Disney World. I'd love that, right?
Fucking
I've got a cousin who says he dug a tunnel out the back of his street, and he got to Disneyland and he went on a ride that was that fast that he spat at the top of it, and on the second time around it hit him in the face. Do you think that's true, Roy? Well, no, I do not. But that's not the point of what I'm trying to say to you.
So, Roy has a shot after Blatty's put him through. He hits the post. Oh, he's hit the woodwork! From then on, Melchester took complete charge of the game, but the goals just wouldn't come. Not even the mighty Carl Hunt could break the Rovers' duck. Hunt has a shot, and it bounces off the keeper's undercarriage, goes wide. If Melbourne get this kind of luck for the rest of the season, they'll win the championship. And the final whistle blows. They've won this anyway. There's the full-time whistle. Oh, no! Shouts another fan. Oh, no! We've lost a friendly.
Oh, fucking hell!
Oh, cunt it! Cunt it all! What a way to welcome the new chairman, says one of them. Jeff has just watched the greatest team we've ever had lose to our closest rivals. And he doesn't look very pleased about it. And you see, he closes up with Jeff Boycott's face. I can't tell whether he looks pleased or displeased or what. He's just like kind of going, "Huh." Look at him. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that expression is, but I think maybe he's already taken the quaalude, Sam.
They've got his mouth just right, haven't they? Like, yeah. He's got that sort of sideways mouth.
He's just staring into the middle distance. He's definitely on something. But
I wish it to be known that I have recently consumed a tablet that I believe is derived from the United States, known as a quaalude or quaalude. I'm not completely certain of the correct pronunciation. It was handed to me by a friend who, for the time being, I shall remain nameless. It has rendered me foggy headed, confused, but somewhat elated. It has only subsequently been revealed to me that these tablets are currently not legal in the United Kingdom. I am therefore a criminal, and I appeal to any police officers watching to come directly to Mel Park and arrest me in accordance with the British law of the lands. I will have nothing further to say at this time. Please respect the privacy of me and my family. Thank you.
So there we go. Quite an episode. Jeff Boycott has arrived in a helicopter and now he's taking a quaalude. And
do you remember that documentary about? And he was accused of. Remember, he was accused of domestic violence against
He was convicted in a French court, but he says that doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, it's French, Britain. Isn't it? I am not a Frenchman, and therefore their laws do not apply to me.
Yeah.
They have different rules when it comes to ladies as well.
It's quite simple. I will no longer visit France. End of story.
You are not allowed to physically discipline your woman in France. It goes back to the revolution. Marie Antoinette, all that sort of stuff.
There he is.
But he kept talking in his sort of, what do you call it, his statement, his deposition about the night in which this happened, because I think it happened in a French hotel when they're on holiday. He referenced the fact that he had bumped into the American singer Billy Joel in the reception area of the hotel, but he kept referring to it. Like, he was there to defend himself against pretty serious allegations of violence. But he kept, like, name-dropping Billy Joel, but always referring to him as the American singer, Billy Joel. Worth looking back at that.
Possibly. Possibly. So this is the next week. Roy's right in the middle of a team talk, ... then, ... So something's going to happen. Is Boycott going to storm into the dressing room and chip in with the team talk?
Rovers, I have brought along with me the American singer Billy Joel, who I recently became friendly with on a holiday to France. which incidentally ended in a situation in my hotel room where I did not physically abuse my wife. In any case, that's a side matter. Billy Joel is here to sing his song, We Didn't Start the Fire. He has agreed to do so to inspire you and energise you before our next game. Please pay attention. By the way, Billy Joel, myself, and indeed your manager, Roy, are all currently on the tablet Quaalude.
The US tablet.
And okay. I flew here whilst on the Quaalude using my helicopter, the Jeffcopter. It was extremely dangerous.
The boycopter.
The boycopter.
The boycott-cotper. No, that doesn't work. We call it the Jeffcopter. Boycopter anyway, sounds weird.
Pay attention. Billy Joel, take it away. Can't do Old Town Girl. I prefer that one. It's more of a toll tapper. No, I asked him to. I am paying him, and he said the budget I was operating with did not stretch to a rendition of Old Town Girl. Next question.
Mark's at 10 for that.
10.
10. Yeah, completely. We'll be back next week. Find out what happens as the boycott era gets underway. Thank you very much for listening. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.